Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
So how did you enjoy the first and probably only debate? Because Joe has no incentive to do the other two, right?
No. My first thing that I wrote down, and this is a little digression here, why I enjoy the debate is who the fuck is the Commission on Presidential Debates? I don't know what the fuck that is, but I either want to join it or have it destroyed because it makes absolutely no sense.
Okay. So I actually know the answer. The Commission on Presidential Debates was created in the 1988 election cycle, and it's basically run by the two major parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party.
Because it was too good?
It occurred after the League of Women Voters, which was the previous sort of sponsorship of the presidential debates, backed out because Bush and Dukakis created some secret rule set that would limit the number of people that would be able to participate in a debate.
So my first impression of the debate, that's what you asked, was that Chris Wallace should retire or something, because he came out, and I think it was like a gasp of air or a sigh, because he just knew how fucked up tonight was going to be.
Like immediately.
Immediately. He was like, son of a bitch. And he said some of the dumbest shit. Sorry, I keep swearing, but things like, and nobody's going to clap and make a noise except for when they first come out. And guess what? Nobody made a noise the entire time.
Well, why was there an audience?
I don't know.
Like, they're like, we can't have the people shake hands, but our audience is going to be quiet. Like, why?
Everybody's 6 feet apart because social distance. It's like, yeah, but I think you forgot the papers and all the articles that suggested that not only is it airborne, but also enclosed spaces has a higher, contraction rate. It doesn't matter if you're socially distanced or not within a non, like, freely moving aired area. Anyways.
And they're at some just like pretentious liberal arts school that just has an auditorium. It's not like a billion-dollar event center that has like filtration systems and anything either.
Yeah, it's probably one of those liberal arts centers that's like, oh, it's been perfectly designed for, you know, audio and acoustics, except for when the air fan kicks on, all you hear is like, brrr, as you're attempting to enjoy the shitty school band playing like the fight song. Oh yeah, look at me, I got a BA in physics. Oh, you got an arts degree in physics, huh?
You can, like, paint black holes now.
Case Western University. All right, so, yeah, let's go through some of the... We're going to break this episode up into two segments. The first is the... Boy, this is tough. The first three parts of the six-part insanity. And then the second half will just be us rambling coherently about the second set of questions. Pretty much on point to what the entire debate was, which was two middle schoolers having a pissing contest about which girl they get to kiss first or something. I have no idea what this was about. It was like they were both stuck on repeat a bunch of times. I take it back. It felt like Trump because they brought it up in the beginning of the Fox News segment, which is, you know, what you should watch. If you're a leftist, you should definitely be watching the Fox News segment because it is absolutely bonkers.
I watched it on Fox News. Obviously, you watched it on Fox News. There's no other way to do it.
There's no other way to do it. So you bring up the first question, which is Biden has spent 10 days preparing for the election or preparing for the debate versus Trump just having round table questions and answers. And I think the moderator or the announcer is like, why do you think this is going to change the debate tonight to the real clear politics guy? It doesn't matter. But what it felt like tonight was that Trump was given some pretty good talking points to just hammer on, which he did okay on. And Biden trained his brain so much that the dementia couldn't fall out.
Yeah, Biden was super coherent.
Yeah, and I think it's because that 10 days of polishing the turd really paid off. Because he had a pretty solid statement about every question, even though he was probably overprepared, because sometimes he tried to do like that crooked Hillary. You know, remember when she tried doing the trumped up economics thing and it just failed?
Yeah.
There was a couple of times that Biden tried that and he just lost. He lost the fight with his mind at that point in time.
He had a couple where he was like, you know, first thing, second thing.
Second thing, first thing.
Trump tried to call him out on it, but I think that just confused Biden more and actually like had his brain self-correct. Biden was in trouble, but then Trump interjected.
Biden should just let him just keep talking. There was a part where he said, let me finish. And I think Trump said, you don't know how to do that. Ah, he doesn't know how. Or something insane like that. And I wrote that down. And I was like, this is great. Like, this is like pure just comedy gold between the two. They should have kissed
at the end. Just said, who gives a shit about COVID? We're just going to kiss anyway.
We love each other. This is crazy.
Daddy Capital loves both of us equally.
So we're going to talk about this, and you might hear some game theory in this part about accelerationism versus, I don't know, harm reduction. I didn't want to say it. Yeah. So this is basically one. If you're on the left, there's a candidate that's an accelerationist candidate, and there's a harm reduction candidate.
Maybe.
I don't know. The accelerationist candidate would be Trump, and the harm reduction candidate would be Biden. Technically Harris, because I don't think Biden's going to make it past, you know, inaugural day before he goes to the old folks home and retires. But
that's the White House these days, though.
That's true. Put him out the pasture, and they just...
Reagan did it.
Reagan.
The Reagan wing is the dementia wing, right?
Dementia wing,
you have
yeah.
The East wing, the West wing, and the dementia wing.
Yeah. What's he wandering around for? I think he's lost.
He probably wants to airstrike, you know, some Middle Eastern country, but...
Someone changes diapers.
Yeah, we'll talk him out of it. All right. So the first topic was the Supreme Court. And this is, of course, after Biden entered the stage and said, "How you doing, man?" to Trump, which, classic Biden.
Trump on this segment won because of just how cut and dry it is. I mean, his statement, he made a bunch of statements. I don't agree with Trump. I don't agree with his pick because it's nonsense. I actually don't agree in the Supreme Court. It's just designed to establish, you know, capitalism and keep it going. But he said shit like, it's his right to do it.
We won the election. Elections have consequences.
That was perfect. That's the first thing he came up with, was won the election. Elections have consequences. Boom. Fucking dunk. Right? The second is he says things like, you know, later on about how Obama left him 128 vacancies. And if I was part of the party, I would think that he's a failure. And guess what? We agree here. Obama failed you, failed us on picks. He should have jammed through a Supreme Court pick and made them kick out the Supreme Court justice.
Trump dropped that like way later in the debate too, but it's dead on.
It's dead on, dead nuts. I think the thing is because they got tit for tat. Trump was coming out swinging hard. He couldn't get off his rocker about the whole COVID thing. He had to establish himself as not fucking up COVID, and we all know he truly fucked up COVID.
Yeah.
But let's not forget though. I mean, I just saw a very cool, like, you know, Biden just looking cool out there saying he would have fixed it, and Trump said, "Well, you would have been 2 million dead if you would have did it your way." I closed the economy, or I closed off to China, and you call me xenophobic. And from a point of view, I mean, he did the right thing, which is close down travel. He did it because he's racist, but at the end of the day, it was pretty much the right choice.
Right thing for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, a blind squirrel is, you know, finds a nut sometimes, or a broken clock is right twice a day. I'm just nailing these metaphors and other colloquial statements.
So Trump talked about the Supreme Court for like 10 seconds and basically just dunked on, "Oh, I won, so I'm going to do whatever I want." Then Biden kind of rolled in and was like, "Well, we want to talk about healthcare, right? Because the Affordable Care Act somehow relates to the Supreme Court." Like, I guess,
yeah.
But
we're gonna take it back.
Healthcare is like the most important thing going on right now, so it's probably a good segue, I guess. He did say that she seems like a very fine person.
That made me so fucking mad. Oh my god, no idea how I just wanted to punch my screen. This fucking class traitor, Biden. Sorry, we were gonna talk in terms of class right now. This class traitor, he's never gonna do anything. Change. This is the question about whether or not you want to support the status quo. He literally said that the Supreme Court nominee, that the Senate is actively trying to fight on the Democratic side. He has no problem with her.
She is a very fine person.
Very fine person, which meant he just basically defanged removed any argument against her on the Democratic side. He did come back and did bring up Roe versus Wade, which, you know, he didn't say the word abortion, which I thought was pretty fucking stupid of him not to say it. But he did say women's rights and women's health care and Roe versus Wade. And then Trump did say, "How do you know?"
And he was like, "I don't know. It's not on the ballot." Like,
yeah, it's not on the ballot. Yeah. One of these two assholes is going to be your, I guess, in the military statement, commander in chief. I don't know. All right, let's keep going. This segment makes me sad.
And then so they kind of went back to health care a little bit. You know, Biden talked a little bit about the public option, how he wants to expand Medicaid, and Trump went on to some rant about how, well, Joe, you don't want Bernie's plan? Oh, you just lost the left. And it's like, well, the left wasn't voting for Biden to begin with, so who cares? But Trump said that like 9 times and was really proud of himself. Like, that was on his own bingo board.
Well, I think he was debate prepping like an asshole, where he got stuck on a few things on repeat, where he kept bringing up Hunter Biden, $3.5 million from Moscow.
Like, who cares? Nobody
cares.
Gives
a shit. No. And the thing that is very frustrating is Biden had the ability to go on the attack and basically drown Trump's children in front of him, and he didn't do it. And that just shows you why he's a class traitor. Right. Biden should have been just dunking all over those pieces of shit. He should have brought up like everything from Trump's daughter to Trump's son-in-law. I mean, we'll go into it here, but just the pure corruption of it all.
Yep. All of it. But all Trump it. Was going to provide insulin that's so cheap it's like water.
I can't wait to drink insulin. I mean, to be able to go, I mean, you got to think of it this way. Like, a 20-ounce bottle or I guess a 5-milliliter, 16.9-ounce bottle of water is like, what, $1.50, $2, depending where you're at, in a store.
Or like $7 at Disney World.
Yeah, Disney World, right? Because you got to pay to play. But then you go to the grocery store and you can get a gallon of water for like 97 cents. But then, right, you can go and you can buy your own water at your house for like pennies on the cubic foot. So, I mean, which water is he talking about here? Because if it's as cheap as that, I'm drinking insulin. Fuck everything else.
You don't even need to eat. You just drink insulin, right?
Just drink it. Yep. I'll get skinny. Or I'll get massive because it'll be the transport layer to get my glucamine back into my muscles after a good workout. So if you don't remember that from your nutrition class, always spike your insulin after a good workout to restore your body's sugar levels.
So Trump went after Biden a little bit on his healthcare plan, said that Bernie's was better, and then Biden was like, oh, well, I'd be Bernie, and then Trump was like, well, if Pocahontas would have quit 2 days earlier, you might not have. And
the class traitor Elizabeth Warren was thrown out there to try to split the left, and it worked. Biden is the nominee because the establishment split the left with the Warren vote, which we've talked about before. So
you got the second, third place candidates to drop out and endorse the fourth.
Yes, right.
And then you had the fifth place was probably Warren stay in because she didn't do great. I don't know what the rankings were, but
who gives a shit?
Something like that. Doesn't matter.
This debate was just a bunch of just petty nonsense back and forth. I mean, there's a part where he called him a clown. Biden called Trump a clown, which is awesome. But all right, so we heard things like Biden bring up injecting bleach, and Trump said it was a joke, and then they got like petty, and he dunked on about his own scientists were mean to him and contradicting him and things like that.
Dr. Fauci said Trump saved thousands of lives.
Yeah. Now Trump did say, and he should have been more on point and not so erratic. He did say 200,000. He said something like one life is too much. I mean, he did try to play the empathetic point, in which he was told to do, obviously.
He didn't understand why.
He didn't understand why. He just spotted off the nonsense. If he would have spent more time on it and spent more time actually saying things like, I'm just trying to balance, people's ability to get food and support their families, which he tried doing, but again, can't empathize, so he wasn't able to do it. Balancing the economy and the strain and the heartache it would take if the economy really sank, et cetera, with loss of lives. In the chaos, if he would have braced all that, he would have came off a lot stronger, but he came off as sort of a crybaby about not being treated fairly. So he kind of, acted like a bitch a little bit.
In the COVID section, he wanted to bring up that, oh, well, Joe, you did a terrible job with H1N1.
And that was awesome.
Joe was able to reach into his steel mine trap and pull out the 14,000 people died of H1N1 and say something like, well, that's less than 200,000. And it's like, yeah.
So on to the COVID. So this is basically a tit for tat. This is the whole segment is, I would have done this better than you. You'd have done this better than me. There's something about the economy in here. Yada, 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 Obama.
You wouldn't have made ventilators was quoted there. And
boy, it's really just muddled nonsense. 200. I think Biden tried to paint this bleak picture about it, right? 200,000 dead, 7 million infected, 4% of the world population. He spotted off 20% of the dead. The president had no plan. I think they got all these things knotted down. You didn't panic. He panicked. All these things about just, how shitty of a job Trump did. And
like, it was a really well-rehearsed answer.
It really was, right? He said things like, what was Xi doing? And We should have been doing PPE and all this stuff. I mean, it was a pretty good, you know, rehearsed line. I will say in the Corona one, Trump came out pretty xenophobic. I mean, Biden obviously won Corona because Trump has just mishandled everything in the whole world.
And he hyped like, I shut down travel because China is brown people or whatever. And it was like, what? Like, you should shut down travel everywhere.
Yeah.
Because people transmit the virus. Like, this isn't...
Yeah, I found that this really painted the picture of Trump as the nationalist, xenophobic, insane man that he really is, or his advisors are. I can't tell whether or not he's smart enough to... I mean, we all know he's racist.
And then Trump spent a lot of time talking about the vaccine in regard to COVID, and we could just tell the companies to do it faster, but don't you trust Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer? And it's like, well, no, because they have a profit motive.
Well, the crazy part is they named off like five companies that are all now competing against each other. Like, how's that helpful?
I don't know. That was our last episode.
Yeah, I don't like they're all competing against each other for the first money. Like, how is that even helpful? How about this? How about season means production and make a vaccine fast?
Right. Be like all five of these companies, you're working on a vaccine together.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, it's not complicated. And then he has his like Project Warp Speed, you know, which he's trying to make be like the Manhattan Project or whatever. The concepts are incomparable because you had like physicists and whatever during World War II, like working on the atom bomb, like all day, every day, indefinitely. And here you have like companies trying to make money off of a vaccine. Like they're just institutionally different things.
Yeah. We didn't nationalize the scientists, right? You know, we should have nationalized vaccine production, and guess what? You can ramp everybody up.
Yep.
You can seize all the university faculty.
Right. Like literally why is anybody that's an epidemiologist or in any field related to like vaccine production, biology, chemistry, like biomechanical engineering, like they all get drafted to do a vaccine. They don't teach classes to like rich bougie kids.
No, they just do the vaccine. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of this whole debate and this whole time, and this is where you can feel the neoliberal / capitalism come through in all of this, which is the I'm going to create a million billion jobs by doing things that are supposed to be helpful to society. Like, you could tell that their mindset is always on capitalism. It's always on jobs. It's always on making money, good paying jobs, prevailing wage. It's never on making society better by focusing on what people need. Big difference between how you get there, you know, between the two parties. But it's still the same basic party, which is capitalism always rule and you will always be a servant to it.
And Biden kept coming back to, well, we have to trust the scientists. And it's like, okay, fine. The scientists don't have a profit motive, but the companies that the scientists work for do. Like, how do you separate one from the other?
And I will say this. I mean, you talk about how they mute, you know, the scientists at the federal government. There's a lot more muzzling of scientists in the corporate world. Industrial scientists can never speak about anything they do because it's trade secret, right? Or there's a patent coming out and it gives you an edge. So if you think that you're going to have a bunch of scientists in the trades or industry talking to you about what's going on, it's absolutely wrong. It'll never happen. Now, in the universities, sure. But the universities are always first lines. They're never actually going all the way from, they're not or full deployment, right? They're never going from the viral loading to full production to inoculation. It's always, you know, we found something that has sort of a vaccine response. And that's not actually what the industrialization is.
We killed one cell culture in one petri dish with this drug cocktail that took us 4 days to make.
Yep, and we fucked it up 17 times, and it's very unstable, and my graduate student didn't sleep, and now they're in a coma.
But it works, and we wrote a paper about it, and now it's sort of industry's job to go and figure out how to mass produce this.
And now we're going to spend millions of dollars marketing in trade journals to get someone to buy our patents from us. All right, so then there's some other crazy things that have happened. Do you believe in masks? That was awesome.
Masks are okay. But every time you see Joe, he's got a mask on.
That was awesome. The biggest mask I've ever seen.
And then Fauci said that masks are no good. But then he later changed his mind. Okay. I don't ever believe a word Fauci says anyway, but apparently people care what he thinks.
I think some of the best lines came out of this segment, where Trump was just saying all types of just ridiculousness, like, over top of Biden. Like, things like, people want the schools open, right? And then things like, I brought back football.
He personally brought back the Big Ten, even though they're not even back yet.
Yeah, personally brought back Big Ten football. You can, Ohio's happy about that.
Very okay. happy, yeah.
Yeah. Trump was really coming out swinging at Biden in this segment because he said something funny about crowd sizes, about how, I have large crowds because they want to hear what I have to say. And then basically dunked all over Biden, saying, like, people don't want to hear you.
Trump was like, well, I mean, you can't hold rallies because nobody would come to them. Like, people come to my rallies, so, like, I have to have them.
We use airports, tremendous crowds. Joe does a circle with three people. It's like... And like, or I'm paraphrasing because I was trying to type this out while we were watching this, but it was so funny because you have to laugh at this because it's just a comedy. There's nothing really real here. This is just two rich assholes attempting to get you to vote for them, right? This is a bourgeois sport right here.
Joe said something like, "Well, we need to have masks for everybody," but you said that we can't have masks because it's not a national emergency. And then Trump was like, "Well, it's so sad what's happening in New York."
Yeah.
And it's like...
The streets are empty. It'll never be the same.
And then he immediately went into his, I brought Big Ten football back.
And, all right, and the final segment of the night, or of the first half of this podcast, will be...
Taxes.
It was like just basically an insane, incoherent ranting back and forth where nobody actually presented a plan, no one talked about anything. It was just bonkers surrealism.
It started off with Chris Wallace saying something like, "Well, the New York Times reported that you paid $750 in taxes. Did you?" And Trump just says something vague, like, "I paid millions of dollars in income tax." And then Joe says, "Show us your tax returns." And it was like...
And then Trump just said, like, go to the Board of Elections or something. Something about his assets being good. So something like...
Assets are extremely good.
That's right. My assets are extremely good.
Millions of dollars.
Yeah, I paid millions of dollars in taxes. The part that's actually really... incoherently coherent in this section is Trump brings up the fact that Biden actually passed the laws and the tax loopholes and calls him out on it. Now, if Trump was a better debater or politician, he probably could have nailed him to the cross on this one because Trump was just taking advantage of the loopholes that Biden gave him.
Right. He said, "I don't want to pay taxes." And whether he did anything illegal or not, who knows, but let's assume he didn't. He's taking advantage of loopholes.
Yep.
That Biden... created over his past 47 years, as Trump is so eager to point out.
Yep. Why didn't you cut it over the past 25 years? He says, "I've done more in 47 months than you did in 47 years." Like, that's a classic dunk from Trump. I mean, if it wasn't surrounded by insanity, like, it would have came up pretty well. Because the next thing Biden did was super petty. He says, "You are the worst president."
"You're the worst president." And I'm like, whoa,
what? Yeah. And then Trump goes into some bonkers shit about... or maybe Chris Wallace asked Biden about $4 trillion over 10 years, and Trump says it hurt the economy. And he goes, "Just look at Wall Street firm, 7 million more jobs." Again, this has to do with like insanity. Like, it's all exploitation jobs. There's no 7 million good paying jobs that are going to come off of this. No way. It's 7 million service jobs, which, again, if you're trusting corporations to tell you that's a good number, you're a neoliberal piece of shit, and you know there's something wrong here.
I had Wall Street review my plan.
That's right.
And they said that 7 million jobs would be created.
So what he said, which is, I think, really telling, and if you don't know economics or how things work out, it's going to be interesting here. So there's things like they raised the corporate tax rates from 21 to 28%. All right. So what that really means is that if you just keep paying your C-suite more and more money, then you don't really have any type of profits, and you effectively reduce their tax rates that you're going to pay off them. Because he didn't say anything about repealing or people returning. You're talking about just corporate tax rates. So you can hide that all over the place. You can have all types of write-offs, all types of stuff. I mean, there are companies that have zero in payment a year or negative payments. And he talked about that for a
Amazon.
Second. Amazon, right? One of the most on paper profitable companies. Actually, it's not. It actually bleeds a ton of money, but it's not the point. The point is its valuation is high. It makes a ton of money coming in, but because of all the R&D it does and all the investments it does, it has a zero, I guess, tax liability, which it's all because they're just keep investing for the future because they're not actually profitable if you take it from that sense, right? But their valuation's super high. They're still trading a ton of money around, and they have a lot of influence. Eventually, they may make income, but right now they can just make billions of dollars in profit, pay it all out to their investors and everybody else. They're not paying any taxes on it. It's all overhead. Bezos can make whatever amount of money he wants a year because it's all overhead. What else happened in this one? This is more about just tit for tat, right?
Yeah, we handed him a booming American economy and manufacturing.
Something like, I don't even know what happened here. Trump said something like, you were number two. I don't even know what happened here.
Biden was like, well, I saved Chrysler and GM, and you came in and threw it away. And then there's some argument about like deficit with China, and Biden was like, you increased the deficit, and Trump was like, well, you got taken advantage of by China. And then Trump transitioned into, why did the mayor of Moscow give Hunter Biden $3 million?
Oh yeah, this is the best coolest shit in the world. yeah, China ate your lunch. Your son took out millions of loans or something bonkers like that. Your son got $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow. That was awesome. It's a fact. No, it's not true. I mean, back and forth, it is just awesome. Was this the part in here, though, and I want to make sure I find it in my notes, sorry about this, where they talk about how you talk about the art of the deal and China had the art of the steal on you? I mean, he just like, yeah, China has perfected the art of the steal with you. Like, that was just like so well rehearsed that Biden said it, slipped in there, and no one actually paid attention to it. It was just tit for tat continuously.
And then it just devolved into Biden going, no, no, that's not true. And Trump going, and Chris Wallace going, you agreed to the terms, but he didn't really say that. He just kind of was like, you've been doing more interrupting. It was incoherent. Any like undecided voter that has not tuned into the election at all in any way, shape, or form by this time in the debate had to have been like, I'm out.
I mean, honestly, though, Biden at every point, because of just sort of the inconsistencies with Trump's brain matter, Biden came off as the adult in the room. And so if you want an adult, I guess you're going to vote Biden. But if you want a bully who's going to stand up and make change, you're going to vote Trump, because Trump continuously comes off as the candidate of change because he's just so nuts all the time.
Yeah, I think the whole framing of this debate was that Biden is going to be like dementia ridden and unable to keep up and, you know, all those tropes. But he did fine. Like, he seemed like the adult in the room, even though he did reboot on a couple occasions. But like, it doesn't matter. It will have no impact on anything.
I don't think so either. And I think the whole getting stuck on Hunter Biden's $3.5 million doesn't really do much for corruption. I mean,
nobody
calling a kettle black is no one cares. It's just what it is. I mean, and this is pretty much the end of the segment. I mean, the Biden gets in like this hard. He says hard to get in a word with the clown. So it's pretty good. But I mean, every segment so far has just been a shit show. I mean, the first segment was all about the Supreme Court, and they just wander in and out of incoherent.
So who won that first segment?
First segment, I'm going to go with Biden 1-3. I actually think Trump started off pretty strong with the whole Supreme Court part of it, and I think he may have won, but I think because it devolved into Corona and Trump didn't bring it back to what he was good at, which is the Supreme Court and law and order, because if he did his whole law and order speech right then and there, he would have probably won that whole segment, but he just tried to, you know, pump his chest up and say, I Corona.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.